There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're moments away from the second race on the Dubai World Cup card, the Dubai Kyla Classic, the Arabian Thoroughbreds race. Chris McCarty is in situ. He's in position to preview that one and also to look back on a dramatic Godolphin Mile won by Heavy Metal. Before we cross to Chris, just a quick roundup on the latest score at Selhurst Park.
Yeah, what I can tell you is, Robbie, that of course a fantastic cross ball in by Liverpool, headed by Firmino onto Sanya. Sanya scoring the goal for Liverpool, but unfortunately disallowed because an offside decision. So the score is still unchanged. Crystal Palace 1, Liverpool 0, 38 minutes played.
The 6 p.m. games, those are Brighton and Hove Albion taking on Leicester City. Our feature commentary game from 6 o'clock. We'll be crossing to Adam Bridge in an hour's time to get his verdict on that one. Manchester United hosting Swansea City with their bid to maintain that grip on second place in the Premier League. Newcastle taking on Huddersfield Town. Watford against Bournemouth. West Bromwich Albion against Burnley. And West Ham taking on Southampton. The late game, which you can hear exclusively on Dubai 103.8, is Everton against Manchester City. Over in Spain, we've got the big guns in action a little bit later on today. We've got Barcelona and Real Madrid both in action over in Spain. Barcelona are away to Sevilla. Real Madrid are taking on Las Palmas. Barcelona, of course, 11 points clear of Atletico Madrid in the La Liga table. They are 15 points ahead of their rivals, Real Madrid, who have started to pick up their form a little bit of late, Cole.
Yeah, they have, as you say, Robbie. But I think La Liga, it's a foregone conclusion. I reckon it will be a Barca year, and I will see that Real Madrid are focusing on the Champions League. Those of you who are big Bundesliga fans, a big one in the Bundesliga tonight. Bayern Munich taking on Dortmund. That kicks off at 8:30.
And I can tell you, we have a former Barcelona player not more than about 20 yards away from us. Ronaldinho has popped up to the rooftop garden.
Wouldn't Chris McCarty be going absolutely giddy if he was here? His wooden bow tie be falling off if he knew that Ronaldinho was up here.
I can confirm he is not in his wooden bow tie. He's actually wearing a tie. We can cross to Chris now, actually. He is looking rather dapper. I've seen a post of his on social media. Beautifully styled, as always. I wonder whether he'll be strutting his stuff in front of Tom Urquhart and the Style Stakes. Chris McCarty, are you going to wander on down there?
I will indeed. Robbie Greenfield, a very good afternoon to you and the panel. I cannot quite believe that Ronaldinho, on the day that I've taken off, of the grill down at Rusty, Ronaldinho's just strolled into town. It's remarkable.
No Akon, though, I might add. No Akon in sight. But he is wearing his trademark sunglasses and looking like he's having a very good afternoon. So if you are interested, anyone out there listening, in a cheeky picture, well, I'm sure we might be opening the floodgates there. But he is relaxing up here with us on the rooftop garden. No sign, though, that he is willing to come on to the grill and chat any football. But Chris, tell us all about the Godolphin Mile, won in style by Heavy Metal. We're building up as well, just a few minutes away from the Dubai Kyla Classic.
We certainly are, Robbie Greenfield. Yes, action is underway. Still a little quiet, I've got to say, that the traffic getting on up here was a bit of a nightmare. But what we have seen is we've seen the Godolphin Mile. That went off at 3:45 this afternoon. As you rightly point out, it was won by Heavy Metal. The horse number 9, Ryan Moore, on board. A dominant performance as well, led from start to finish. Looked at the end as if it was starting to tire, was Heavy Metal, but still had enough in the tank to take the victory. So that is race number 1 of 9 this afternoon. And as you rightly point out, we are building up to race number 2. It is the Dubai Kyla Classic. This one for purebreds Arabian horses, 15 in total will be taking to the gates for this. I've been talking to the legendary broadcaster Jim McGrath. He knows a lot more about horse racing than you and I, Robbie Greenfield, and he's told me to keep a very close eye on number 8 in this one, Zayed from France, ridden by Richard Mullen. For Jim McGrath's money, this is the overwhelming favourite. It is a competitive field, but Zayed, have your eye on that horse to take this victory. We're off at 4:15.
Looking forward to that, and that's only a couple of minutes away. We will be taking the live commentary feed from that. A little bit quiet, but I'm sure you're expecting, Chris, crowds to be flocking in. The weather is beautiful. Last year, it was a mud bath at the Dubai World Cup. The race won by Arrogate was run on a dirt track, on a very muddy track, it has to be said. But the weather's set fine for this afternoon and later on into the evening. 8:50 p.m. the big one, $10 million. West Coast, another Bob Baffert runner, very much the horse to beat in that one.
Absolutely, yes, no doubt about that. Thunder Snow will go for Godolphin in that one as well. It is remarkable. The trainer Saeed Bin Sarur looking for an eighth victory in what was, let us not forget, the world's richest race. It's not anymore that, the Pegasus World Cup, but it is still got the cool $10 million up for grabs. So Godolphin have a rider, a few riders in fact, that they will be hopeful for. But yes, West Coast is one of the favourites, if not the favourite. Bob Baffert had great success with Arrogate 12 months ago. And as you rightly point out, the weather is beautiful down here. I've no doubt that it will start to fill up as the afternoon goes on. There are a number, well, it's not a number. Everyone is looking absolutely beautiful and resplendent down here, myself included. I've got to say, I've made a bit of an effort this afternoon, Robbie Greenfield. I am flying the flag for Dubai 103.8.
But the wooden bow tie was kept in the drawer because you've put a little tie on. You've gone a bit traditional, Chris.
Yes, I've gone traditional. I've gone the traditional route. I often joke about that wooden bow tie, but it's been worn for the past couple of years, so it's taking a year off. It will be dusted out, I'm sure, for next year. But yes, I've gone for the more traditional tie and suit this afternoon, and I've got to say that everyone has scrubbed up well. There's not a pair of trainers, there's not a shorts, there's not a T-shirt in sight.
Well, Chris, you'll be glad to know that I'll be rushing home at 5 p.m., dusting off my 80s tux from my high school prom, and I'll be down to join you.
You mean
in 70s, just a short
Mark
time.
Archer.
And I'm a bit disappointed you haven't done the segue link between the winner of the first race today, heavy metal, because, of course, it's heavy metal football that Jurgen Klopp likes to employ in this match. But he's still trailing Crystal Palace 1-0, just going on to halftime.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Mark Archer's on fire today.
Liverpool 0. He is on fire, absolutely he is. Someone's excited about heading on up to Maidan for the Dubai World Cup. But I've got to say, boys, mission for you guys. You've got to get a photo with Ronaldinho. I want to see that up on Dubai 103.8 Instagram. So your mission during the next advert break is to get a picture with Mr. Ronaldinho.
All right, we will do our best. We certainly won't be getting him to agree to come on air, I don't think, but a picture is something that we'll be hoping for. It's time now to cross, I think, to live commentary of the Dubai Kyla Classic, but we'll be back in touch with you, Chris. We're going to interrupt your afternoon on a regular basis between now and 6 o'clock, so be braced, be prepared to hear from us on a few other occasions between now and then.
Don't you worry, Robbie. I'll do your job for you, my friend. I will stay here until the bitter end. Don't you worry.
Good to hear it. Good to hear it. We'll chat to you very soon.
Top man. Cheers, Rob.
Now Kakue Dubazil is coming across and trying to surf with it is Paddy Stay, although it's going to be caught out very wide into the first corner. Ziad getting across, Marohib over on the inside, the red jacket, white cap. They were followed by Al Zahir as they left the straight. Shaddad over on the inside, then Nafiz. Next of all over on the rails is Darius Dupayon. Sheck Roker fairway back in the field with AF Mara, and Sniper Damon Lau has gone back to the rear. 27-13 as they race into the back straight, and the front runner AFL Sajanju out with a big break, out by four or five lengths over the Saudi runner Talibel Kayla Dealer in second. Next of all over on the fence is Bandar. They were followed by Kakue Dubazils in the line, but being ridden along. Paddy's Day travels strongly but caught wide from Barnamage between them. Mawahib is over on the inside, then Shaddad Ziad, a gap of two lengths away in the field to El Zahir. Next of all then is Darius Dupayon. Nafiz a long way back, followed by next of all AF Mara as they come off the back. Sheck Roke and Sniper Damon Lau was back at the rear, turning down the side, and they come to the final 800 metres, and moving up on the outside, Talib El Kaladia has gone to the front here under a little bit of pressure. AFL Sajanjul, Barnamage is sticking on well. They were followed then by Mawahib. Next of all is Shaddad, followed then by Ziad coming to the outside, trying to go past Bandar. Paddy's Day lost its spot. Coming to the outside now is El Zahir as they race in, and Darius Dupayon ahead of the rest. They go to the final 350 in the Kahala Classic, and Talibel Kaladia is the leader, doing it well. Mawahib back to the inside, Barnamage finishing well, Shaddad is down the outside. It's Talib El Kaladia just rolling in under a little bit of pressure. Barnamage is trying to get there on the outside, Shaddad closes in late. Tahab El Kaladia is clear in the Kayla Classic, and Tahab El Kaladia is going to win it for Saudi Arabia. Talib El Kaladia has taken it out from Shaddad, third across the line, Barnamage. They were followed by Mawahib. Then came El Zahir. Next in was Ziad Nafis. They were followed by Bandar, a gap off in the field. Next of all was AFL Sajanjul, followed by Darius Dupayon. Paddy's Day dropped right out of it with Sniper Damon Lau, followed by AF Mara. Then came Kakue Dubazils and Sheck Roke.
the Kyla Classic then. We'll be crossing over to Chris McCarty very shortly again to get his thoughts on that race, and we're building up to race number 3 on the card at the Dubai World Cup Day. It is, of course, the Dubai Gold Cup going off in about 30 minutes' time. Still Crystal Palace 1, Liverpool 0 in the early Premier League kickoff, and it's Stumps over in South Africa, Arch.
It's not Stumps, but I can tell you that South Africa have been dismissed in their first innings of this fourth test match for 488. Couple of wickets to fall, final two wickets. Maharaj did a great job, caught behind by Payne, bowled Pat Cummings for 45. And big Mornay Morkel in his final test match was dismissed first ball. The unfortunate part, Robbie, is that Themba Bavuma, who batted so well, he's been left stranded on 95 not out. He's been denied his second test century. But South Africa will be very happy with their day's work so far. 488 all out. The main man with the ball for Australia, Pat Cummings, has taken 5 for 83. So South Africa dismissing their first innings at the Wanderers in Johannesburg for 488.
Right then, it's time to turn our attention to what is unquestionably, at least in my opinion, the biggest sporting event of the weekend. It will be taking place in front of 80,000 people at a sellout Principality Stadium in Cardiff. And it's two big men getting ready to rumble.
In heavyweight boxing, someone lands a shot, it's all over. We know he's an elite fighter. Can he go on and be a great?
What can you say about Anthony Joshua? It's the power, but it's the speed as well.
It is Anthony Joshua, unbeaten, the heavyweight champion, taking on another heavyweight champion in the shape of Joseph Parker. Also unbeaten, Parker in 24 fights, 18 knockouts. Anthony Joshua has won all of his 20 professional bouts via knockout. One of those records will go tonight, unless in the extraordinary circumstances that there is a draw, but one man is probably going to get knocked out tonight, because Anthony Joshua has knocked out all 20 of his opponents. Joseph Parker has done likewise with 18 of his 24. It is going to be a titanic tussle. Anthony Joshua, the heavier man, the bigger man, the favourite going into the fight. Joseph Parker, a countryman of yours, Mark Archer. What do we know about a man who last fought, I believe, against Tyson Fury's cousin, Huey Fury, in a split, a majority decision that Parker won there? He's a grinder, isn't he? He's a man that is going to be in Joshua's face, and if Joshua has a bad night, he'll be there to take advantage.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't really talking up the chances of Joseph Parker, but he is a world champion, 24-0, as you rightly say there. He's fought a lot more rounds as a professional than Anthony Joshua, almost twice as many rounds, 123 rounds he's fought compared to Anthony Joshua's 65. So he's experienced in the ring. He's seen a lot of different opponents, and Anthony Joshua would do well not to treat him lightly. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the man from New Zealand, the man with Samoan heritage in him. Joshua's biggest fight ever was probably his previous fight against Vladimir Klitschko, which he won. This is a, I think for Joshua, thinking it's a pretty routine defense of his two belts, and he's trying to take away the one world championship belt that, I think it's the WBO belt that Parker has. But it's going to be interesting, because Joshua's weighed in as the heavier man, he's got the bigger reach, he's taller. But Parker is a guy that will go the distance. He's very fit, and he's got quick hands. And so they are saying that, look, if for him to trouble Joshua, he does have some power. And if he can take the fight into the latter rounds, it's a one-punch, you know, knockout thing. And I think, though, for Parker to win it, he's probably got, as you say, he's got to knock Joshua out, because I don't think he's going to win a points decision at the Principality Stadium. 78,000 people, the majority of which are probably going to be backing Joshua. So it's a real into the lions den for Joseph Parker. Big challenge for him. Is he up to it? Well, let's wait and see. I mean, he's definitely the underdog, and I think he's played up the underdog a little bit there. But both fighters have shown a lot of respect for the other. Joshua seems like, and you've met him, Robbie, a bit of a class individual. I quite like him. I want him to see him to go on and do well and possibly reunite these four belts, and will he take on Deontay Wilder later in the year? Let's wait and see. But big challenge for Anthony Joshua tonight. He's the firm favourite, but do not rule out Joseph Parker. An upset could happen. It is within the realms of possibility.
There's certainly been a rekindling of this heavyweight division. There's an excitement, there's a buzz around the division, Carl, that we have not seen throughout the duration of the Klitschko brothers' era of dominance. They refused to fight one another. This is the first time that on British soil, at least, two undefeated heavyweight champions have met. As Arch just mentioned, Joseph Parker, the WBO heavyweight champion. Anthony Joshua is champion. He's WBA and IBF belts that are held by Joshua. There's a baffling array of belts and of different...
Too many, really.
But that such is the nature of boxing at a professional level. Anthony Joshua, last seen back in October of last year, he fought Carlos Takam, who took the fight on a 10-day notice period. Kubrat Pulev was supposed to be the mandatory challenger for Anthony Joshua. He pulled out with a shoulder injury. Carlos Takam stepped in and actually gave Joshua some problems. He wasn't totally convincing, was Anthony Joshua. A 10-round stoppage, TKO, which most believed was premature. The fight before that, 29th of April, the epic fight of last year, the fight, I think, of the last decade or so, Anthony Joshua taking on Vladimir Klitschko. Yes, Klitschko was an aged fighter. He was over 40 years of age when they fought. It turned out to be his last professional bout, but we saw a real epic, didn't we, at Wembley Stadium in front of 90,000 people. Joshua flooring Klitschko in the fifth, Klitschko getting back up and nearly ending the fight in that very same round, hitting Joshua to the canvas in the sixth round, and then finally the Briton got his win back and finished the fight with a dramatic stoppage in the 11th round. That really lit the touch paper for the division, I feel. Deontay Wilder, as Arch mentioned, is the wild card equation in all of this, but how do you see tonight's fight going? What's your reading into it? Anthony Joshua the favourite. Will he keep his undefeated record and remain on course to fight Wilder later this year?
He definitely goes in as the favourite, and I also think that he'll be a lot more used to the surroundings. I mean, before, Parks only has fought in front of 10,000 people. Tonight there's going to be 78,000 people going absolutely crazy. But I think, to your point, Robbie, I think Anthony's going to have to be very, very careful. You know, we know how hard Parker can punch. He will have to protect himself a little bit early, because I kind of felt that, especially against Klitschko, he kind of exposed himself. He proved to us he can take a punch the way he came back at that. But I think it's going to be a tough ask for Joshua tonight. He's going to have to be at his best, but I believe he'll have enough in the tank to secure this one.
There's been a lot of amusing back and forth, not just between Anthony Joshua and Joseph Parker, but mainly between Eddie Hearn, Joshua's promoter, and David Higgins, the promoter of Joseph Parker. They have been, it's been a saga, a sideshow. The two promoters have been firing jabs at one another, which hopefully will be more or less effective than the jabs thrown in the ring by the two fighters. Let's hear the thoughts now of Anthony Joshua ahead of this one. Can he keep that undefeated record intact? 20 fights, 20 knockouts. This is how he is approaching this big night against Joseph Parker.
Massive respect to Vladimir Klitschko. He came here 11 months ago and the rest was history. I've got a lot of respect for what he achieved in his career and what he done, and now we fast forward to this day and we've got Joseph Parker, the WBO champion. It's a lively contest, and you know how we do. We don't prepare to fail, we prepare to win. We're going to do well, and we always bring excitement, and not only for the fight, like the whole arena, the whole event in itself, the build up, the turnout, Sky. It's much appreciated, all the support that boxing is getting right now.
Been dubbed March of the Heavyweights. We had Deontay Wilder and Luis Ortiz thrilling us in Brooklyn, Dillian White, Lucas Brown last weekend. It's great times, isn't it? And now a battle of the unbeatens again with 80,000 watching at the Principality.
Yeah, it's great times for boxing as a whole. And it takes a lot of hard work, you know. Everyone is, you know, turning these cogs, you know, behind the scenes, and then we're giving everyone the fun times. But there's a lot of hard work that goes into it. So credit to everyone involved. And long may it continue.
It's a diligent process, many weeks in camp. How has sparring gone? Do you feel as good as ever and fully prepared for the different style that Joseph Parker brings?
Sparring is very tough. But what I've done, as I said, is that not only physically have I prepared myself, I've approached it with the right mindset and mentality. So that's one thing. And in terms of sparring, there's no one that is going to be as good as having Parker in for sparring. But why do I work on myself? Position of hands, feet movement, balance, head movement, and so on and so forth. So these are the things that I work on for sparring. So I'm always developing, and providing that my prayers are answered, the training pays off, I get this win, we can move forward and look forward to improving that little bit more once again.
Coping with demands outside of it. Now, obviously, you're on a bigger platform with more casual fans, but it's just business as usual, isn't it? And what do we expect on Saturday?
So I tend to like withdraw myself from all the hype, you know what I mean? I don't really try and get involved in people's demands because I've got a demanding task at self, you know, taking on Joseph Parker. That's my main focus. I would say it's not business as usual. The reason being is that this is a new challenge, a new task. The setup is pretty similar, but I have to approach it with a new mindset because the same oil that got me through that Klitschko fight has soon run out now. So we have to oil up the cogs again and get moving. So I'm looking forward to the challenge with Parker.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on.
Let's get this party started! Now, coming to the ring, the WBO undefeated heavyweight champion of the world, Lupisolia Laaoli Oli Maliatoa, Joseph Parker! And now making his entrance to the official weigh-in, the Olympic gold medal champion, the undefeated WBO, WBA, IBO, heavyweight champion of the world, AJ Anthony Joshua!
Bad things, it's a lot of bad things that they wish and they wish and they wish. I make sure that Northside eat.
Tomorrow night, with almost 80,000 in attendance at Principality Stadium, the unified heavyweight title, one step closer, ladies and gentlemen, to a fighter who will become the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, the greatest title in all of sports. And you can see it all with a sensational matching undercard tomorrow night at Principality Stadium.
It wouldn't be a big fight without Michael Buffer. What a legend. Probably the most legendary MC, and Tom Urquhart notwithstanding. Michael Buffer, he really is the voice of boxing, isn't he? And he was there. He will be there tonight to introduce the fighters into the ring. It is exciting. It is a huge fight. It is potentially one step away, Mark Archer, from an undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. We haven't seen one of those since Lennox Lewis held that title. Oh, way back in what, 2003, was it? You got to go way back, years back, since we saw an undisputed world heavyweight boxing champion. The winner of this fight will have an opportunity to unify the division with an incredibly mouth-watering bout against the wild man, Deontay Wilder, the bronze bomber, who has such power, such incredible demonstrations that he said of his knockout power in that recent victory over Luis Ortiz. But I can tell you, Anthony Joshua is at his lightest mark, having scaled those that weigh-in at 17 stone and 4 pounds, his lowest mark since 2014, and looking to gain a bit more speed, perhaps a little bit more agility. He was at his heaviest mark when he fought Carlos Takam, and a little bit more cumbersome in the ring was Anthony Joshua, but he's heavier than tonight's opponent, Joseph Parker, weighing in at 16 stone 12 pounds. And let's get the thought of the New Zealander ahead of what will unquestionably be the biggest night in his boxing career.
It makes me think that he's taking this fight very seriously. He's trained very hard, so he's in good shape, I'm in good shape, so there's not much of a weight difference, which is it's good. You know, we're both going to be, I think, fast for tomorrow night, and we're both going to move well for some big bombs.
You had more time to look into his eyes there. You've told me that you think he's angry, that maybe there's some nervousness there. Did you still see that today?
No, I saw confidence, you know. He's trained, he's a good champion, I saw confidence, so I'm expecting a really good fight.
How does this fight unfold? I mean, you'll both look to execute your game plans. Those first few rounds, could they be a little bit cagey?
The first few rounds, you know, there's a few ways they can go. We can either test each other out or we can go in for the kill. So it just depends on who's going to follow their game plan first and who's going to execute it to the best of their ability.
Are you ready possibly to have to weather a crisis or two? We're at elite level here. These things can happen.
I'm ready for anything. Mm. I'm here for a good fight. I'm here for war. You're going to have to give me everything to beat me.
It's a Joshua crowd. You've got your supporters here too. Can they make themselves heard?
I got my supporters and I heard them and I saw them. You know, he's got a bigger crowd, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't faze us.
Joseph, what happens tomorrow night? Give us your dream view. I know you've dreamed about the outcome. Let us into how it unfolds, how it finishes.
The biggest thing for me is the challenge of fighting someone like Joshua, and then the challenge of fighting, if it goes into the dark place, how long will I stay there for? How fast can I come back? The result will take care of itself as long as I'm ready and determined and confident. You know, I'm here to win.
Yeah, you're not worried about his power, his size, that he might lean on you, that you're away from home, that you'll have to win rounds very clearly to get decisions and so on?
I'm not worried about it. You know, we've done everything we can in training to prepare, sparring partners, sessions. We've gone through a lot of things, game plan. So there's nothing to worry about. You know, just follow it, do it well, and execute it, and then come away with a victory.
Anthony Joshua, Joseph Parker, the third stadium sellout in 11 months for Anthony Joshua. He sold out 90,000 at Wembley, sold out 80,000 at the Cardiff Principality Stadium. That's the venue for this evening's fight as well. That is almost a quarter of a million seats sold in 11 months. There is a movement, there is a wave of excitement and anticipation like we have not seen in a long time sweep through heavyweight boxing, Carl Van Rosenvelt. Before we leave this and move on to other sports, a prediction from your good self.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Joshua. I don't think it will be a knockout tonight. I think it will be a points decision. But Anthony Joshua in the ninth round.
So you do think it will be a knockout?
Yeah, sorry. Anthony Joshua, my apologies. Anthony Joshua, nine rounds to win it.
Nine rounds, okay. Knockouts. Mark Archer, are you concurring with that
sentiment? Heart and head are split here. My heart says Joseph Parker, the Kiwi. If he's going to win it, he's going to have to knock him out because he's not going to win a points decision in front of a away audience that packed Principality Stadium. So I'd love to think Parker can beat him in again, ninth or tenth round, knock him out. But reality is that I think Anthony Joshua will be too strong.
I will be watching it. It will be getting underway around about 1 a.m. I think local time. The fight scheduled to start around about 10 p.m. local time in the UK. So here it would be around 1 a.m. I will be glued to it. It is going to be a great fight. I think it's going to be a tough one for Anthony Joshua. He probably will come through it. He is, I think, the better boxer, bottom line. But Joseph Parker, no doubt, has the ability to cause an upset. And speaking of upsets, well, one was on the cards at Selhurst Park when Crystal Palace took the lead against Liverpool. But there has been action subsequently.
Yeah, Robbie Greenfield, what I can tell you, it's redemption for Manya. It's fantastic ball through by Salah. Once again, an interplay between Firmino, Milner crossing it through the front of the goal, Sadio Manya jumping on it, a fantastic goal scored there by him. Liverpool 1, Crystal Palace 1, 49 minutes played, and it seems like the ascendancy is now with Liverpool.
Yeah, can Liverpool go on and retain or get a victory that will see them, at least albeit temporarily, take second spot in the league? We'll be keeping an eye on that one all the way through to its conclusion. 52 minutes on the clock there. We'll be speaking in about 25 minutes to TalkSport commentator Adam Bridge. He is at the feature game for this 6 p.m. kickoff. It is Manchester United taking on Swansea. What can they do? Romelu Lukaku, so influential and so good for Belgium during that international break. Can he carry that international form back to the club level and the club stage? But it is Crystal Palace 1, Liverpool 1 in that early kickoff. It is also a 1-1 over in Italy in Serie A. Bologna taking on Roma there. The scoreline is 1-1, and the goal scorers Eric Pulgar opening the scoring for Bologna, and Edin Dzeko, a man who's been on such wonderful form for Roma, particularly in the Champions League, equalising for Roma, and it is 1-1 there. In fact, that is a full time, that result. So a point split there, and we're looking ahead to some exciting games as well in La Liga later on this evening. 8:30 sees Las Palmas take on Real Madrid, and 10:45 kickoff will take Sevilla hosting Barcelona. Barcelona assured, I think, of victory in this season's La Liga, and also going well in the Champions League as well. Winners over Chelsea subsequently to reach the quarterfinal stage. And what have you been making of the Champions League, Mark Archer? It's getting to the point now where it's the usual suspects once again rearing their heads. Real Madrid bidding for that, fourth crown in five seasons, which is just incredible to even contemplate. But for me, Barcelona are the team to beat.
Yeah, but again, then you look at the form on the last couple of years of Real Madrid, and despite having a really poor La Liga campaign this year, it's tough to write them off when it comes to Champions League football. So many of the big-name players, the Cristiano Ronaldos of the world, like to step up on the very biggest stage and do what they do well. But what's in Barcelona's favour, Robbie, what I also think favours someone like Manchester City is they've effectively, and also Bayern Munich, is they've effectively almost wrapped up their domestic competition so they can rest players throughout the week and really focus on those quarterfinal stages of the Champions League. So I expect the teams to do well are the teams that have almost run away with their domestic titles, where teams are fighting two battles on a domestic level and also in cup competitions, but in the Champions League, their resources will be a bit more difficult spread over this time. There's lots of football to come in the remaining couple of weeks of the season. It'll be interesting to see how those teams react with the international break. The likes of Gareth Bale for Real Madrid had to go to China and play some football, so he's got to come back. Many of the players at Champions League level have been split throughout the sort of international friendly round, which was last weekend. So how do they react in the domestic leagues and also in the Champions League when they come back? But as you say, look, Barcelona are destined to go well. You think Real Madrid are going to be there or thereabouts. What about a La Liga final of El Clasico come European competition, come Champions League? That would be one match to savour.
I can't believe he's writing off Manchester City. I honestly think they've got a very, very good chance in this year's Champions League. And one of the reasons I'm saying that is because the Premier League they've wrapped up. Also, they don't have a very far distance to travel during the course of the Champions League. They've got a nice big squad. I know that Liverpool did beat them early on, but I reckon if they can get their first game off to a win, I kind of fancy them to go all the way, Robbie.
That's a tricky draw for them, was it, Liverpool? That will be a very, very interesting quarter-final tie. That is enough football just for now. It's still 1-1 between Crystal Palace and Liverpool. Liverpool equalising through Sadio Mane. It's time, though, just 5 minutes to go before the start of the Dubai Gold Cup. It is the third race on the card, and the well-dressed man in position to tell us all about it is none other than the head of sport at ARN. It is Chris McCarty. I believe you are there, Chris. Okay, struggling to get through to Chris McCarty. We will try momentarily to reach Chris, and 5 minutes away from the Dubai Gold Cup. Have we got him now? Chris, are you there?
I am, Robbie. Can you hear me?
Certainly can. Yeah, this is an interesting one, the Dubai Gold Cup. It features a horse where we have a connection to, at least a colleague or a friend of ours, Rupert Bell, has a connection to. Big Orange is running in this one. We've got a runner for Charlie Appleby and Godolphin. William Buick, a jockey who we spoke to very recently, is riding Rare Rhythm in this one. But I think most people's favourites for the Dubai Gold Cup would be Vizarabad.
Vizarabad, undoubtedly so, Robbie, won this race twice before, going for a hat-trick of successes. That would be the first thoroughbred, incidentally, to win three races at the Dubai World Cup meeting. So that is history potentially in the making. You rightly pointed out that Charlie Appleby does have a horse. In fact, he's got two running, Franz Meerman as well. Five runners for Godolphin in this one. Red Galileo, who is trained by Saeed Bin Sarur. Then there's Frontiersman, who is trained, as I say, by Charlie Appleby. You've got Natural Scenery, another Saeed Bin Sarur horse, Rare Rhythm, who will be jockeyed or on board with William Buick. So there, so Rare Rhythm, I know an awful lot of people fancy Rare Rhythm to get a success in this one, and then Gold Star completing the lot for Godolphin. So five runners in total. You're right to point out that Big Orange, we saw Big Orange down at the Emirates Melbourne Cup a couple of times a couple of years back, so looking forward to seeing what Michael Bell's horse can do in this one. But the favourite, speaking to those in the know, and it's very difficult, of course it is, to pick winners in a horse race, but Rare Rhythm for Godolphin, that's the one that I'm keeping a close eye on. We're underway in about 5 minutes' time.
We've not seen a success for Godolphin just yet in the Dubai World Cup. Heavy Metal, the winner of the Godolphin Mile. Talk us through the Dubai Kyla Classic, though, Chris. That was the race featuring the Arabian Thoroughbreds that took place about, what, 50, half an hour ago?
Yeah, it was half an hour ago, Robbie. Real good race, this one. It was a success as well for Saudi Arabia. Talib al-Khalidiyah with a victory there. So Saudi celebrating this afternoon, and I've got no doubt it won't be long before the boys in blue, the home team, Godolphin, will be celebrating a success as well. Of course, all eyes will turn to the Dubai World Cup. That one off at 8.50. All eyes on Thundersnow, looking to become the first horse. He won the Derby last year, so he did. He's looking to go and become the first horse to follow that up by winning the big one, the Dubai World Cup. That is off at 8:50. So a lot of intrigue, a lot of people now filling up as well. I can tell you that this place is jam-packed. It's getting there. Traffic has been a little bit of an issue getting down to Maidan Racecourse, as you would expect. It is the day that not only the sporting aficionados come out, but the fashionistas are out in force as well. And I can tell you that it is slowly building up, excitement building up as well. We are just, what, moments away from race three. It is the Dubai Gold Cup. Godolphin with five runners. Big Orange in there as well, as I say. And we may just witness history if Vizierabad can go and clinch what would be a third success in this race.
2 miles over the turf, so it's one for the stayers. And well, there aren't many who are fashionistas and sporting aficionados, but you are one of those gentlemen, Chris McCarty. We're going to let you take your position, and we'll be back very shortly for live commentary.
Top stuff. Cheers, Rob.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai iSport.
It is still Crystal Palace 1, Liverpool 1. We thought Liverpool were in the ascendancy, Carl van Roosevelt, but Palace have just had a good chance.
Christian Benteke, what a waste. What a waste, Robbie Greenfield. Open goal, basically, putting it over the top, and that was just one of his two chances that he had. He surely should have converted one of those two. To me, a fair reflection would have been Crystal Palace 2, Liverpool 1, but unfortunately, Benteke just not finding the back of the net. So it's 63 minutes played. Crystal Palace 1, Liverpool 1.
As I say, we will be crossing to Adam Bridge in about 20 minutes' time to get his thoughts and team news on the 6 p.m. feature game. You'll hear live commentary of that one right here on Dubai Eye 103.8. It is Manchester United taking on Swansea City. Australia are back out to bat in Johannesburg, Mark Archer, and they've already lost a wicket.
Yes, an early wicket for Australia. They've had to replace both their opening batsmen, Cameron Bancroft and David Warner, sent home in disgrace. The new batsman is Matt Renshaw and Joe Burns, but it's Joe Burns who's been dismissed. Caught in the slips by Faf du Plessis, bowled Kagiso Rabada for 4. Matt Renshaw is 6 not out. So Australia are 10 for 1. That's in reply to South Africa's first innings of 488. Themba Bavuma just missed out on his second test century, was left stranded on 95 not out. So South Africa 488. In reply, Australia 10 for 1.
We will have a Super Rugby update for you, courtesy of Carl van Roosevelt, very shortly. But I can tell you, we can now cross back to Maidan for live commentary of the Dubai Gold Cup.
...800 metres in the home straight. They'll come down to the winning post, and then 2004 remaining. Now they're ready. Starter Shane Ryan to send them away. The gates are back and they're racing in the Gold Cup. Dowler Harold over on the inside and Lost Barbados the best two to begin. Red Galileo began nicely and Torcedor is coming across as well. Rare Rhythm, Frontiers Man just off them. Parva slots in behind them, followed by Sheikh Zayed Road Run Time. Now Big Orange, he wasn't great out, but comes across and picks up ground. They were followed in behind them by Natural Scenery as they join the course proper. El Sahem just inside of it. Then came Sheikh Zayed Road over on the inside. Prince of Aram for Zerabat is out 3. Wide Run Time is over on the inside. The white blinkers and Jan soon went back to the rear. Down in front of the big crowd here for the running of the Dubai Gold Cup. And as they come to the winning post with a circuit to go, and the front runner is Frontiers Man, is out by 2 lengths over Red Galileo in second. Big Orange content to sit third from Lost Barbados. Next of all is Gold Star is there, run by the judge. Then Dowler Harold over on the inside. Torcedor's got into a lovely spot. They were followed by Parvis. Then came El Sahem, Sheikh Zayed Road, Rare Rhythm, the white cap, the outside of Natural Scenery. Then Vizierabad, Prince of Aran, Jan Soon, and back of the tail is the USA Galloper Run Time. Up the side they go, inside 2,000 metres to run. The first 400 metres was 26.26 as they race towards the back straight. And the front runner is Frontiers Man for James Doyle, out by a length and a half over Red Galileo. And they're broken away 5-6 lengths to Big Orange. Then came Lost Barbados. Up on the outside is a Gold Star, followed by Dowler Harold. Then came Torcedor. Then came Parvis over on the inside. Next of all, El Sahem with Sheikh Zayed Road in the white and red down on the fence from Rare Rhythm, the white cap. Next of all is Natural Scenery for Zerabad, is back fourth from last. Prince of Aran, Jan Soon, and last of all is Run Time. Down the back of the course they go, inside 1200 metres left to run, and Frontiers Man's made all so far, out by a length of Red Galileo in second, a gap of 5 or 6 lengths away to Big Orange. Lost Barbados travels okay the fence, followed then by Gold Star, Dowler Harold over on the rails from Parvis, course to door. Next of all is Sheikh Zayed Road, El Sahem for South Africa up on the outside. Then Rare Rhythm. They were followed by Natural Scenery. The Zerabad still a long way off them from Prince of Aran Jansoon. And back of the tail is Runtime as they come down towards the top of the straight. Frontiersman shows the way. Red Galileo goes up to its bridle now at the top of the lane. There's still six lengths in front of Lost by Abydos and Big Orange. Now Gold Star makes its move from Dal Harold. They were followed by Rare Rhythm around the outside with El Sahem. Parvis getting into the clear. Sheikh Zayed Road. The Zerabad's got a stack of ground to make up. Into the straight, Frontiersman, the leader. Red Galileo about a length away. They were followed by Gold Star out of the middle now. Rare Rhythm for Zerabad again to chime in. They come with great runs. The leader is Frontiersman, but for Zerabad, looking to be the only horse to win three times on World Cup night, and it's going to do it. It's raced away for Zerabad. Rare Rhythm, Sheikh Zayed runs on, but a great performance from for Zerabad, an absolute superstar. For Zerabad wins. Second, Sheikh Zayed Road, followed by Rare Rhythm. Close up over on the inside was Frontiersman. A great run from Parvis, Gold Star, Prince of Aran. Then Red Galileo, Jansoon. Followed in next of all by Natural Scenery, Big Orange. Then El Sahem. Behind them was Runtime. And pulling up very quickly, Lost Barbados. Also Dal Harold and a Torcedor.
What a performance from Vazirabad. As mentioned, the first horse to win three times on Dubai World Cup night, and a cracking ride it was. Left it a little bit late, but Christophe Soumillon, the jockey, timed his run to perfection, and Vazirabad is your winner of the Dubai Gold Cup. The two-mile turf race for the stayers, it is Vazirabad who's won that one. We'll get reaction from that to Chris McCarty, by Chris McCarty, but tell you what, let's have a little Super Rugby update. There's been action going on earlier on in the day, Carl van Rosenveld. What's been happening over in the world of Super Rugby?
Yeah, let's just start on yesterday's two games. What I can tell you is the Chiefs beat the Highlanders 27-22. What a game. A lot of talk has been about the Melbourne Rebels this year as a team to be reckoned with, but my word, the Hurricanes taught them a rugby lesson yesterday in Melbourne, beating them 50-19, and as you say, a fantastic display there by Archer. Myself, we're just talking about it off air. Ben Lamb, their new left winger, the man is absolutely sensational. Earlier this morning, the Blues took on the Sharks, and once again, the Blues have been absolutely dreadful this season. The Sharks beating them 63-40. The Brumbies taking on the Waratahs. Israel Folau leaving the field there for the Waratahs. Not a very good sign, but the Waratahs ending up winning that one in the capital, 24-17. And at 7:15 this evening, the Bulls take on the Stormers. That game is in Loftus-Versfeld in Pretoria. And our listener, Jürgen, was asking for a prediction on that one. I'm going to go for the Stormers by 10 points in Pretoria this evening.
Lots to report as well, Mark Archer. In Australia, the AFL and the NRL are going strong.
Yeah, it's always a busy weekend of footy. Easter weekend, of course, down under in Australia. Taught plenty of action off the field this week, particularly with their Australian cricketers. But it's a big, busy weekend of football down under. Let's just start with the AFL results to date. Round two underway this weekend, and I'll give you a quick update. The Adelaide Crows were far too strong for the Richmond Tigers, 118-82. North Melbourne Kangaroos defeated St Kilda by 52 points, 95-43. In Etihad Stadium, it was the Gold Coast Suns, comfortable winners against Carlton, 101-67. At the MCG earlier today, it was the Greater Sydney Giants had a 16-point victory against Collingwood, 95-79. Big match at the Gabba in Brisbane, where the Melbourne team were too strong for the Brisbane Lions, 100-74. And at Optus Stadium in Perth, it was the home team Fremantle easily defeating Essendon, 106-90. Just to bring you bang up to date with scores in the NRL, round four of the National Rugby League competition, Penrith Panthers too strong for the North Queensland Cowboys, 33-14. Cronulla Sharks defeated Melbourne Storm, 14-4. At Allianz Stadium earlier today, the New Zealand Warriors won their fourth consecutive match in the league this year. They defeated the Sydney Roosters, 30-16. And the late kickoff at Brookvale Oval, it was the Manly Seagulls had a 16-point victory over Canberra Raiders, 32-16. Big match yesterday, big Sydney derby match, saw the South Sydney Rabbitohs snatch a 20-16 victory against the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldoggies. Let's just have a quick listen to the highlights of the Rabbitohs defeating the Bulldogs.
And this is Dewey with the ball. He goes across the face. Sutton gets it on. Walker came in. Here's a chance for Jennings. No.
And we got a Canterbury player in trouble here.
It's Moses Embiid.
crashed.
Oh, no.
That's why the number one for Canterbury has stayed down.
Leisha dummy half. It's gone back then for Marshall King. Kick looks good. Into the sun. Oh, battered down from Morris to Morris. And Josh Morris scores for Canterbury Bankstown. To the middle now for Sam Burgess, and he does a complete 360. Comes out the other side, puts the ball under the bar.
Just keep your eye on his brother on the inside. He gets in the way of Michael Leisha. That's a no try.
So we're just outside the 30-metre line, south end of the park. And here's Hopewadi going down the blind side. That's Brett. This is Josh. They've done it again. Morris to Morris, and Josh gets a double.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Kieran.
Missing an absolute sitter.
I've never seen anyone put it under the post.
South Sydney then with a golden opportunity right here. Here's Greg Inglis. He's over. GI gets his first try of the year. And then another lunge at the line. Short. I think it's short, but the referee's going to have a look. Tuilau. Now Walker at the back to Johnston. Here's a chance. Burns has got one. So the green will go up and 14 to 10 will become the new score. Sam Burgess. Oh, Josh Morris has copped the bumper bar from Sam Burgess. So Sam Burgess on report. Here's Montoya. Given the rag doll treatment by George Burgess, and then they go on with it, South.
He didn't like it. That's hello.
Four gone. Back now for Dewey. Dribbles the ball in. Here comes Heimel Hunt. Heimel Hunt. I think it's a try.
Now, does he knock this onto the boot of Brett Morris before grounding it?
To level the match with five to go. His kick is wide. To never say die, finish from South. Ball didn't touch the ground. Now Sutton to the 10. Got the ball away to Crichton, or is it Murray? They're over South. They've hit the front. And South Sydney will take the prize. 20 points to 16.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.